over the past few weeks, we've had a sermon series on the Book of Philippians, and it's been wonderful hearing truths that we've probably heard before, but hearing them again. And last week we looked at Matt talked about a simple message that we're loved by God, and how amazing that is. And this morning is the start of a new sermon series, and we're going to be looking at a series called Keys to Freedom. So this is kind of the introduction. Now, the word freedom, I don't know about you, but for me, it's not a word I use very much, apart from in church. Just not something that we talk about. But in church, we talk about freedom a lot. So I thought we'd start this morning by having just to think about what freedom is. So I quite like Google Images. So if you put the word freedom into Google Images, this is all your selection of what you get. So open spaces, birds flying, a lot of people with their arms in the air like this, with big grins on their faces. Open cages, birds flying. And then I got to thinking about stories of freedom. So I was thinking about the Chilean miners several years ago now, actually, but 33 men were trapped 2,000 metres underground for 69 days. I mean, that's just, you just can't think about that. Imagine the freedom that they felt when they were rescued. And the next to them is the Thai football team, more recently trapped in the cave system. Those boys just... yeah, can't imagine the freedom that they must have felt coming out of that. I wonder, when was the last time that you felt free? Maybe it is when you're in nature, when you're walking along the beach. Maybe it's the end of exams or the end of a big project that you've had to hand in for work, and that sense of freedom when it's over. Maybe it's when the kids are back at school after a long summer holiday and you've got that freedom to choose what you're going to do with your morning. I watched the Michael Palin documentary and I noticed that he talked about that feeling of freedom when he was out in the mountains. And he said, for the first time in the 2 weeks since being here, I feel free. Dictionary definitions can sometimes be helpful when we're trying to get our heads around something, not always. But there's two concepts, really. So there's kind of the power or the right to speak or think as one wants. And we often use that if we're talking about freedom of speech, etc. And the other, which we're probably thinking about more this morning, the state of not being imprisoned or enslaved. So not being trapped by something. So often when we're thinking of freedom, we're thinking about being free from something. So I've asked you to have a little think about feeling free, and now we're going to just think about feeling stuck. So this is Sandy. Sandy makes me smile, which is partly why I put her in here. Sandy is our 3-year-old yellow Labrador, and she's in her happy place. She is being free. She's out for a walk. She's got a stick in her mouth. And we were out for a walk a couple of weeks ago, and she was running along very happily. She climbed up on a stone wall on the edge of a field. She was running along the wall in the field, and then she jumped off the wall and found herself here. This is Sandy stuck. Okay, so she actually looks quite happy still, and we were all kind of laughing at her, really, because she just sat there. She's in brambles, she's in gorse, and she would not move. Okay, so no amount of calling or even offering her a biscuit or anything was going to get her to come out of that bush, because it was prickly, very prickly. So me and the kids were there thinking, what are we going to do? Got to get her out of there. So I was wearing trainers and I didn't want to get my ankles scratched up by the brambles. So I put on Rebecca's boots, bashed down as much of the brambles and the gorse as we could, and I managed to clip the lead on her and get her to take some steps, because I couldn't pick her up, to take her own steps forward towards her freedom. So that's Sandy. Thinking about getting stuck, there's nothing worse than being stuck in traffic or the bad combination of traffic and snow. This is actually Cornwall. Earlier this year, it feels like a really long time ago, doesn't it? But actually, we had snow in Cornwall just a few months ago, and yeah, being stuck, I was stuck in the snow for hours in a car. And sometimes life can feel like that. Sometimes life can feel like, how can I get out of this? I'm stuck. And sometimes the snowstorms and the brambles of our lives can look like relationship difficulties. It can look like sickness. It can look like the loss of a loved one. It can look like financial uncertainty, redundancy, anxiety, addictions. You know, I could go on. Life is tough, and that should come as no surprise to us, because it's no surprise to God. Because this world is not how God wants it to be. This world is broken. We live in bodies which are broken. We live in a world that's broken. And so for Christians, as well as people who are not yet Christians, life is hard, and it can take us away from the freedom that God wants us to have in Christ. But you know what? God made us, God designed us to be able to live life in freedom, even in these storms. It's like God's given us a 4x4 to get in through the snowstorm, that he's given us that, you know, he's bashed down the brambles. He's given us the way to freedom. And I love this verse. His divine power has given us everything. And the Amplified version of this says absolutely everything that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. It doesn't mean that God gives us everything we need for a trouble-free, carefree life. As we've already heard this morning from Karen and the mess that's going on in Indonesia. But he's given us all the resources we need to be able to live this life well, no matter what the rough terrain looks like for us. So he wants us to know that he's with us in the storm. But sometimes when we've come through the storm, there's also healing that needs to be done because we stay stuck through the things that have happened to us. And there are tools that he's given us, which when we use them, can lead to greater freedom. I want to take a minute just to tell you about a particular storm that happened in our lives, in my life, in my family's life. And that was when our daughter Rebecca, who many of you, probably all of you know Rebecca, who's now 11, and she became unwell when she was 7. I won't go into all the details, but essentially she came down with a glandular fever type illness and she became very unwell. I spent weeks and then months either in bed or on the sofa. She ended up with a diagnosis of chronic fatigue syndrome, and between the ages of 7 and 10 and a half, she missed 2.5 years of school. It was really, really tough. As any of you who are parents would know, it was tough for us, but it was tough for Rebecca. By the end of that time, towards the end of that time, anxiety was a major part of her illness. And I'm not talking about just the little kind of worries, but actually crippling anxiety. And her journey to recovery was by being able to take steps in overcoming this by renewing her mind. I'm not going to go into all of that in great detail this morning because that's a topic for another talk, another day. But we learned together how to take thoughts captive by using a simple word, stop. And to recognise the things that she was believing that weren't true about herself and replace those lies with truth. It was not easy and it was really hard work. But with perseverance, we learnt together to overcome that. And she actually became well and she has completely recovered from the chronic fatigue syndrome. There's more I can tell you about the tools that I learned to help Rebecca in her journey. And feel free to come and talk to me about that. But I just wanted to share a little bit like that, like Karen said, to say that I'm not standing up here saying that I've got all the answers. I'm saying those 2.5 years were a long 2.5 years, and it may not be kind of quick answers to things. But I know, and I learned through this, that freedom is possible when we kick down lies that we're believing and replace them with truth, and that Rebecca's journey was partly what fueled my passion to get passionate about the freedom that's available from things like anxiety and depression when we hold fast to the truths that God's given us. Okay, so, oh yeah, it's another Sandy, that just because that was a bit heavy, and I thought we'd look at Sandy being happy. Okay, so now we're going to move on to look at the keys. So we've looked at what is freedom, and now we're looking at keys. When I was a child, I went to a big Church of England church, and they had a massive wooden front door, and the key was that big. It was a massive key, and keys, state the obvious, they're things that we use to unlock things, but keys are pretty useless if you don't pick them up, and sometimes they feel heavy, and you put them in the lock, and you use them, and they can unlock things to bring greater freedom. So over the next few weeks, in the talks each Sunday, but several of you are doing the Keys to Freedom course on a Monday evening, or maybe you're doing it on your own in the week, we're going to be looking at some of these keys, which when they're used, so when we pick them up, when we apply them to our lives and our minds, can lead us to greater freedom. So we're going to be looking at renewing your mind. We're going to be looking at choosing to forgive, healing life's hurts, breaking generational patterns, using our authority in Christ, and maintaining lifelong freedom. And some of these, well, all of them probably seem very familiar to you, and you've looked at that before, But I know that having a fresh look at things that we think we already know can actually be really powerful. And God has new things to do in you, through us, both in our relationships with him and our relationships with others. But for the rest of this morning, I'm going to be talking about the master key, that middle bit there, really, our relationship with Jesus. Because it's with Jesus that, you know, without him, none of these keys are keys to freedom. And they may be tools that we can kind of gain a little bit of freedom, but actually without Jesus, we don't know the freedom. So we're going to be looking at two passages of scripture. And the first one is maybe one of the ones that's often talked about when talking about freedom. So John 8, 31 to 32. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." I'm just going to read that again. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Now, who was Jesus talking to? He was talking to the Jews who had believed him. And that word believe is really important. That word believe, I looked up my clever dictionary thing, it means to trust in, to rely on, to adhere to stick to like glue. To trust in, rely on, and adhere to. Because knowing about Jesus is not going to bring you freedom. It's knowing him better that leads to greater freedom. People sometimes say you can only be set free by the truth you know. And I kind of reiterate that. You can only be set free by truth you know. But more than that, the truth won't set you free unless you believe it. And taking hold of truth is sometimes hard work. I know it's hard work. Because the circumstances of our lives, the mess that we go through, can lead us to believe things about ourselves that are not true. One way of identifying what we really believe, I find helpful, is to listen to the things that I say to myself. Words matter, and the words I say to myself, not out loud, but the words I say to myself in my mind, I think they matter most. So some of the things that I might say to myself, things like, "I'm no good," "She's better than me," "I'll never get over this," or a common one, "I can't cope." And actually, those words are revealing to me what I really, really believe. Not that I don't believe the truth, but that, am I trusting in it? Am I relying on it? Am I adhering to it? So it can be really helpful to listen to those words, to work through replacing those with the truth. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, that he has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind, one I've used for today. And so this is something that we're going to look at in greater depth in the Keys to Freedom course and also in the coming weeks as we go through this sermon series. So I just encourage you, when you come along on a Sunday, to say, you know, what was the truth that God wants me to take hold of today? And don't let it be a passive thing, but let it be an active thing. Just want to give an example in my life when I went from knowing something, believing something, but not really believing something, was something that Matt talked about last week, the simple thing of being loved by God. I gave my life to Jesus when I was just 12 years old, and I have never looked back. But throughout my teens and university years, I really struggled with insecurity and didn't really like myself very much. I wished that I was more confident. I wished that I was more outgoing. I wished that I was like that girl over there who could say what she thought and you know, was more popular. I remember going to a talk at university, and the title was God's Love. And I was like, oh, really? You know, I've heard this so many times. I want to move on. I don't want to hear about God's love anymore. But the Holy Spirit gripped me with the truth that evening. The truth that actually God didn't just love me because he loved the world and he had to, but that God liked me and that God wanted me. He created me as me with the personality that I had for a purpose. And that truth, it sets you free because it takes away that comparison. It takes away that wanting to be someone else and enabled me to fulfill the calling that I knew God had for my life. So I'm going to go and look, we're going to look at another passage of scripture now. I'll read it. So Mark 10, 46 to 52. So yeah, completely kind of different tack if you like. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. So that's probably a familiar story to lots of you, and just kind of have a little look at that. So what do we know about Bartimaeus? So he was a son of Timaeus, but don't know much about him. We know that he was blind. It doesn't say in this passage or in the other Gospels that the same story is in how long he'd been blind for, possibly from birth. We don't know. Again, something that I could not imagine. And he was a beggar, not thought of very highly in those days. You know, the same, probably, beggars not thought of very highly in these days either. And he heard that Jesus was passing by. And actually, Jesus and the large crowd were leaving the city. But Jesus and the large crowd were leaving the city. You see, he'd heard of Jesus before. But what he calls out to Jesus reveals something of his faith. So he calls Jesus son of David. Now, David was an Old Testament king, but he wasn't just any Old Testament king. They knew that from his line would come the Messiah. And the Jewish people were really familiar with the prophecy that the Messiah would come from David's line. And the Old Testament prophecies also made it clear that the Messiah would be the one who would heal the sick, help the blind to see, and make the lame to walk. So when Bartimaeus is calling out to Jesus, son of David, he is saying, "I know you are the Messiah, and I know that you are the healer." So Jesus hears him. He stops. He calls to him. He calls him towards him, and then he asks him a question. I love this question. You'd think Jesus would already know the answer. Why ask him that question? But I think he wanted Bartimaeus to speak it out, what was in his heart. And Bartimaeus could have asked for so much less. He'd spent his life asking for money, for bread, maybe for a roof over his head. He could have asked for those things, but he knew what would bring him freedom, his sight. He was bold enough to ask for freedom. And he knew who Jesus was, and he knew who he needed him to be for him, and he needed him to be his healer. I think sometimes we live for things for so long that they almost become part of our identity. They become part of who we are. And we might ask for freedom from them in the beginning when we first kind of trapped in it, but maybe it didn't happen. And I think often working through these things, it is a process, it is a journey, and it's not easy. And we live with this tension of being in the now and the not yet of the kingdom, as we often talk about. So I think it's often not like the blind man receiving his sight. And I was kind of in tune, I said, why have I chosen this passage? Because it's usually not like that. It's usually not that instant healing. But I think that two parts of this are really important for us this morning. It's Bartimaeus knowing who he needed Jesus to be for him. So challenging us to take a fresh look at that question, who is Jesus to you? So needing to really know Jesus, needing to know who Jesus is, and asking the Holy Spirit, is there anything that I need to be asking you for? So to hear Jesus say to you afresh this morning that question, what do you want me to do for you? And so we're going to be taking time over the coming weeks. So those of you who are doing the Keys to Freedom course, we're going to be taking time to think about those things together and to look at those keys, kind of renewing our minds and choosing to forgive, healing life's hurts. And they're all really, really important things. But this morning, I just encourage you to take that next step towards Jesus, to ask him those questions. So to ask yourself, who is Jesus to me? Can I cry out to him as Jesus, you are my healer? Or maybe it's Jesus, you are my saviour. I need you to be my saviour today. And also to hear him whisper to you again, what do you want me to do for you? And to just hear what he wants you to ask for.